Thanks very much for that reading, Brother William. And so now it is our time and opportunity to receive the word of exhortation, and Brother Jamie Myron will bring that to us this morning. Brother Jamie.
Thank you, Brother Matt. Good morning, brothers and sisters and young people and friends. It is good that we are able to join together here today to read from Scripture, to sing of hymns of praise to our Father in heaven, to pray unto him, to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died that our sins might be forgiven, that we may enter into life everlasting in the coming kingdom. I would like at this point for everyone to just take a deep breath or two. Just relax. Shake your arms if you have to, and don't worry, I'm the only one with the camera on, so no one will see you. And just remember to that point in the day, whether some have it every day, some only on the weekends, and some only on holidays. But when you wake up in the morning before the sun is up and it's quiet, maybe you're camping and the only noise is the crackling of the fire. The birds aren't even awake yet. And it is just so nice and peaceful and calm. But then the neighbor's dog starts barking, someone starts mowing the lawn, traffic gets crazy, the person parked next to you on the highway has a stereo blaring and all you hear is the boom, boom, boom and the vibration of their license plate. You get to work and the phone won't stop ringing, your boss wants to report, customers are angry, your teacher's getting mad at you because you're late with your report. The noise of the world has taken over. And those few moments to yourself are gone and almost forgotten. But this here, what we're doing this morning, is that small, quiet time where we can close out the noise of the world. None of that out there matters. This is our solitude. This is our quiet, peaceful place where we can focus on the thing of God, the things of God, not on the things of man, to recharge our batteries, so to speak. Now, why is it that we need to get away from the noise of the world? Well, quite simply, because it can and will suck us in. Now, this past year has been very interesting. It's really showing all of us who and what mankind, what human nature is all about. Politicians are giving medical advice. Pillow makers are giving political advice. Medical professionals are contradicting one another. People are refusing to wear masks because they feel that the virus is not real. The racism towards Asians has grown exponentially because the virus originated in China. So, of course, an Asian person in this country must be responsible. People are refusing to take a vaccine because they think that it is a computer chip that will control their minds. And both sides are getting angry and violent towards one another and protest against masks because it goes against and violates their rights. Movie stars, singers, and sports stars are all giving their opinion because that matters. And cancel culture, if you say something that goes against the grain, you will dearly pay the price. They're even getting rid of Mr. Potato Head. But as these restrictions have been in place, I've increasingly watched a lot of news to see what is going on, how people are reacting, and what is the situation throughout the world. But the news has really turned into opinion statements rather than stating facts. And it is easy to get caught up in all of these opinions and to get upset with someone else's view or someone else's response or their opinion. But when the reality is, this is all part of God's plan. Whether the virus is natural occurring or whether it was man-made, it makes no difference. It is still God's plan. All these conspiracy theories, well, how do they fit into God's plan? Does it make sense that a computer chip will be put into our arms and make us not religious? I do not think that that falls into God's plan. And these are reasons why we need to step back and to get away from the noise so that we don't fall into it. And Jesus himself did this on numerous occasions. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 in verse 28 to 35. That's Mark chapter 1, commencing at verse 28. And immediately his fame spread throughout the region around Galilee. And now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And so he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. And at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there he prayed. They were coming at him from all sides, and he got up early, went to a solitary place, and prayed. Turn over with me to Luke chapter 5. That's Luke chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16. However, the report went around concerning him, and all the more the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Over a few more pages to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who needed healing. When the day began to wear away, 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away that they may go to the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." A couple more references, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, commencing at verse 21. And now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And immediately Jesus made his disciples go into the boat and go before him to the other side. And he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was there alone. Few more pages over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. And when Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face, and he prayed. He went away from all the noise, all the opinions of the world, and to focus on what God wanted him to do, not what the people wanted him to do. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place. There he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they had found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." The people wanted him to stay there, but he prayed and did what God wanted him to do, and that was to move on to the next town. The people wanted to be fed, they wanted to be healed, and they wanted to be saved. But sadly, very few wanted to truly follow him, to give up what they had, and to literally follow him on his path. And that rings true today as well, doesn't it? We have all these bumper stickers and signs and posters saying Jesus is love, and God loves everybody, and Jesus doesn't judge, neither should you. But these are simply the world's opinions. It is their noise. It's not what Scripture says. And Luke chapter 12 is a great chapter to explain all of this. First, he tunes out all of the noise. All right, let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when the innumerable multitude of the people gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples. He blocked out all the noise. He blocked out the innumerable crowd to speak to his disciples. His path, his teaching, was not going to be diverted. And we need to take a step back from the noise to remind ourselves that it is God's plan. It is his purpose. It is not ours. It is not our friends. It is not our children's or our parents or our siblings that matters. It is only God's opinion that matters. And that we must always remember to trust that God is looking over us. Verse 13, and when the crowd said to him, "Teacher," when one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me." This man, just like the world, wants their fair share because he felt he deserved it, just like the world feels that it deserves whatever it wants. But Jesus' response was the parable of the rich man storing up treasure, not sharing it, not giving it to the poor, not looking out for those around him, but storing up for himself. And he died and had nothing left. Most importantly, he had no hope. Verse 22, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body and what you will put on it." He responds to his disciples by saying, don't stress, don't worry, just follow God and his commands, and everything will be okay. Psalm 146. Psalm 146 and verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help, or translated, there is no salvation. For his spirit departs, and he returns to the earth, and in that day his plans perish as well. But happy is he who has God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners, The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. And the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers, and he relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. And the Lord shall reign forever. Don't trust in what man is telling us. Because as soon as that man is gone, so are his words. But our Lord God, he is there forever. He will take care of us. He is constant. In Luke, back in Luke chapter 12 and verse 41, that is Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And Jesus' response basically is that I'm saying this to whoever will listen, but not listen only, but to do what is asked of us, both in public and in private. And no, it was not easy for Jesus, and he had struggles, he had fears, he had anxiety. Verse 49 and 50 of Luke chapter 12. I came to send fire on the earth, and now I wish it was already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. He was distressed. He was afraid. But he still went forward with his sacrifice. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Flip over a few more pages to John chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. And so when Jesus had received a sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He knew what God's will was. He trusted in God's plan. He blocked out all the temptation to step aside and to avoid being crucified. And this is where a lot of people get it wrong. Flip back, if you will, back to Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, no, not at all, but rather division. And from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against his son and son against his father, mother against the daughter and daughter against the mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The division comes in how we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And verse 40 to 43. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not scripture said that that Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And so there was a division among the people because of him. The people had their own opinion of who Jesus was, who he was supposed to be. And that is the same today as it was then. People have their opinion. And none of that matters because scripture tells us who Jesus is. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Society believes that everyone will be rewarded, but that is not the case. Not everyone will enter into the kingdom. And Jesus did get angry, he did get frustrated, and he did judge. And it is the same with the world's opinion of God, our Father in heaven. It is easier to think that God loves everyone and that he will reward everyone. But that is not true, is it? He gave us his commandments. He laid out in Scripture for us his morals, his ideas, and also told us that if we do not follow, we will surely perish. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14. Whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from the house of that or a city, shake off the dust from your feet. For assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah to enter in the day of judgment than for that city. In Hebrews chapter 11. Or Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There has to be actions as well. It can't just be words. We can't just say that we believe in God and that we follow Jesus, but we don't. We are told that at judgment, there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. People will feel that they are deserving, but in reality, they are not. Now, why have I gone down this path, down this road? The main reason is because if we do not block out the opinions and the noise of the world, we can adopt those same thoughts, the same mentality, that God will forgive me as long as I'm doing good in other places. We can self-justify. We can convince ourselves that God will understand, and we will compromise ourselves. How many times have we self-justified our action, our sin, because a fellow Christadelphian has the same weakness? And that is when we need to step back to that quiet place, to pray to our Father in heaven, to be with us, to read from his scriptures, to pray, to put our trust in him. Again, back into Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. And now he said this to the multitude. Whenever you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, a shower is coming, and it is so. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time? When the world can sit there and come up with its own opinions, its own desires, and change its rules, but cannot see that it itself is corrupting the word of God. That is what Jesus is saying. He's saying that you can tell what the weather is going to be, but you can't tell how far away you've gotten from God and God's word. And that is, again, why we need to block out what the world says, what the world's opinions are, and what the world's thoughts are. In verse 58, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. And I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid every last mite. This is a truly important lesson, that if we feel justified and we go for it, we better be aware that it may backfire. If you are not 100% certain of your charge, of your accusation, you may end up paying the price. How many times has this happened where you're informed of something and then you move forward with that thought or that feeling, whether it be about something in not important or something important, or whether it be about a person, and then only to find out that the truth, that the facts were adjusted just a little bit, and now you look the fool. Again, back in Psalm 146, trust no man's opinion, only God's. It is written down word for word. Nothing is left out. The main point is, during this pandemic, we've been forced to step back from a lot of worldly functions, and we have not associated with a great number of worldly people. But now, as the restrictions are beginning to lighten, I pray that each and every one of us will have the strength and the courage to block out the noise of the world, to stay vigilant daily, finding that quiet place of peace, to be with our Father in prayer and in reading, and in doing so, that we ourselves, when our Lord Jesus returns to this earth to establish his kingdom, we may hear those words in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.